Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look that way? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. Whether it's a door that sticks, or a disorganized closet, or an AC unit that only works half the time, it all matters. You just haven't taken care of it yet. But there's an easier way. Just download the Thumbtack app. You can search for what you need done and find tons of highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Check prices, reviews, and book a pro right on the spot. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. Pull out your phone, and in just a few taps, say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects, and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning Five here on Monday, April 29th, 2024. I am Dave Biddle. I'll be joined by Steve Hellwagon and Patrick Murphy in just a moment. Yeah, three-man backfield here. A lot to get into. Is Ohio State going to set the record for players drafted next year? I tend to think so. In our fake Bucknuts sports book, we're setting the fake over-under at 14.5. Dan Rubin and I talked about this a little bit last week, but I've now really drilled down on this. I think they're going to have 15. So I'm already taking the over, but 14.5 is where we're setting it. We're going to break all that down. We're also going to look at the transfer portal closes tomorrow. The Buckeyes did lose Jahad Carter yesterday, but they continue to, I think, do a good job of retaining the guys that are going to be key players on this team. Jahad was just caught in he was just buried in the depth chart at safety. Depth's got so much great depth at safety. So we're going to get into that. Jake Diebler's offseason so far and more. Before we do that, I want to let you guys know again, have you guys tried these awesome burgers from Omaha Steaks yet? They're fantastic. I've never had anything like them. Nothing says summer like the taste of a juicy, tender burger grilled to perfection. And nobody does burger perfection like Omaha Steaks. Right now, you can taste burger perfection for yourself with the Burger Perfection Flight. This exclusive package includes 20 of their mouthwatering steak burgers, 4 of their pure ground filet mignon burgers, 4 New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, and sirloin burgers. That's right, you get 4 each of those. Filet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, and sirloin burgers. They're fantastic. They deliver an explosive combination of tenderness, juiciness, and unmatched quality. And right now you can experience the Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com. Get ready for grilling season with the Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99 when you shop omahasteaks.com. Omahasteaks.com. That's 20 mouthwatering pure ground burgers for just $79.99 at omahasteaks.com. Check it out. All right, let's check out my guys here. I love this. Is like a Wednesday during the season here. All right, boys, good to see you. Patrick Murphy, Steve Hellwagon.
Good morning.
Is it too early to eat burgers? I say no. I mean, you go back to Pulp Fiction. In Pulp Fiction, remember? He's like, what are you guys having for breakfast? Burgers. Oh, hamburgers. The cornerstone of every tasty breakfast. Right before he kills those people. Big Kahuna
Burger. That's a tasty
burger.
Breakfast.
That is a tasty burger. Can I put some of your drink to wash some of this down? What does Marcellus Wallace look like? Okay, we're going to stop this. We're going to stop this. All right. 14.5. I think they're going to get there. Here's the thing. I think they're going to get to 15 next year in the draft. Here's the thing. I wrote this down, guys. Tell me if you had – I'll go through the list of guys I think will definitely be drafted, and you can tell me if I've missed any. And I'm not – there's some guys that I think could get drafted that I didn't have included on my 15. I'll talk about those guys too. But here's the 15 I think will definitely get drafted. Start with the DBs. Denzel Burke, Davis Nigbinosen, Jordan Hancock, Lathan Ransom. These are in no particular order. These are just guys I think will definitely get drafted. Look at the defensive line. I think all 4 starters are going to get drafted. Tui Moloau, Sawyer, Tyleek Williams, Ty Hamilton. That's 8. I'm even skipping the linebackers. Cody Simon could get drafted. I'm not including him. I think Sonny Styles is going to stay for his senior year. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't have C.J. Hicks leaving early, but he could. I don't have Kenyatta Jackson on the list, and I don't have Caden Curry on the list. Now, those are my 8 defensive players so far. Here's the offense. Emeka Egbuka, that gives us 9. Quinshon Judkins, 10. Travion Henderson, 11. Josh Simmons, 12. Donovan Jackson, 13. Seth McLaughlin, 14. Will Howard, 15. Again, I'm not including C.J. Hicks. I'm not including Sonny Styles. I'm not including Kenyatta Jackson. I'm not including Caden Curry. I'm not including G. Scott Jr., who very well could get drafted. I think they're going to go over 14.5. Pat, we'll start with you. What do you think? Then we'll go to Steve.
I certainly think it's a possibility. You know, this time of year, I saw somebody, I forget who it was, one of the national sports writers on Sunday morning put out, republished his mock draft from the year before. And like, it's funny to go back and look at kind of what you project a year, you know, full year in advance, right? So who knows what happens with some of these guys. We were talking before the show. Look, if Ohio State's offensive line doesn't play well and Seth McLaughlin has snapping issues and Josh Simmons doesn't build on last season, okay, maybe you take those two off. What if, you know, Lathan Ransom doesn't have great, you know, I'm just talking hypothetically here. There's a possibility that that number drops, but I think there's equally as good of a possibility that all of those guys you listed have the seasons we expect them to as Buckeyes next year. And certainly will then be candidates to be drafted. I mean, you look at what Michigan did. I think there were some guys that I was even surprised where they got picked, probably just because they played on the national championship team this season. So if Ohio State can have a season like we expect them to, that means players are playing the way that you expect them to. That record is definitely going to be in jeopardy, but always hard to pick this far out.
Steve, you going over, under 14.5, and why?
I liked your list. I would say over 14.5 because, as you said, there's other people like Cody Simon who could leave and could get drafted. Somebody will come out of nowhere, obviously, at some point, and you know, make a case. I think that's a solid list. I think 15 is a starting point, and I think it's a strong list of viable NFL guys. So, yeah, I think that's a good range. NFL Draft Bible came out with their early mock. I think I sent it to both you guys. They had 6 Ohio State guys in the first round. Maybe they're a little more bullish on Ohio State than others. I've seen our network 24/7 only had 3 Ohio State guys going in the first round next year. So anywhere in that range, 3 to 6 for the first round, and 14, 15, 16, I would think, for the overall.
Who's going to be the first Buckeye off the board? Let's start with that. Do we think it's going to be Emeka? Is it going to be Denzel Burke? Is it going to be, I don't know, Ty Leak? There's so many different candidates. Tui Mololaufi has a big year. Pat, we'll start with you. Who's going to be the first Buckeye off the board, you think?
That's a good question. I would have immediately gone – well, look, I guess if Will Howard comes in and has a really good year, like we know – we just saw what happened with 6 quarterbacks in the first round, right? And I don't even think half those quarterbacks are worth first-round picks. Other than Will Howard having this breakout season – or I guess, you know, Devin Brown, I guess, potentially could go if he starts and has a really good year. I think Burke seems like a likely candidate. This year didn't have a ton of DBs taken early, but that is not the norm. If JT Tuimoloau plays the way JT Tuimoloau is capable of playing consistently this season, I mean, he could have a Bosa-like NFL draft, either Bosa, and be a top 5 pick. He has that ability. We just haven't seen it. So I'll go with JT. I think Jack Sawyer could be in that conversation as well. I'll go with JT, though, because I think the potential's there. And I think that's a position that tends to go pretty high if there's a big-time player in that role.
Yeah, NFL Draft Bible that I referenced earlier, they had Burke as the first one going at number 10, which is, you know, for the top corner, that's about right. You know, sometimes higher, sometimes lower. This year, obviously lower because there weren't any defensive players taken in the first 14 picks. I think Burke can show that he's one of, if not the top corners in the country coming back this season. I think he can show that. Beyond that, I like Tui Mololaau. I like Sawyer. That bull rush that Sawyer put on Hensman in the spring game is indelibly etched in my mind that he just – shove that dude, 300-pound dude, into the quarterback. And if he does that once a game, he's going to be a legend, I think. So, I don't know. I'm I'm bullish on him. I think he's primed to have a double-digit sack year possibly, and could move way up on a lot of people's lists if he finally realizes all that immense potential that we've known that he's had for 6 years. I mean, it's been looming there. We've known about it with him for years, and now it's time to get that out of him. Agbuka injured last year on the 24/7 list. I think he was toward the end of the first round. I saw another one online today that popped up on my Twitter where he's not even mentioned in the first round. I think that's because of the injuries that he dealt with the second half of last season. So I think he's a guy that can definitely be middle of the first round and higher if he has a monster year. And I think the potential is there. As we saw in the spring game, the young guys had a real tough time getting separation from great DBs. And Emeka didn't. He went right in the game and said, look here, guys, whoop, 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 ball cap, you know? So, you know, to me, he's got the potential to have like an 80-catch season if he's healthy. So let's see how it all plays out.
Yeah, real quick.
I'm going with Burke. I'm going to go with Burke. I won't be surprised if Davison Igbinosen gets himself in this conversation. I think he's going to have a huge year, but I think it'll be Burke. Go ahead, Pat.
Well, I just follow up with Steve. I think Emeka definitely should be in this conversation, and I meant to mention him. Just the track record alone says we should include them, right? I mean, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, now Marvin Harrison. I imagine because of Emeka's talent, he's going to be in that range somewhere between top 10, top 20, where those guys went as well. So I think the health, like Steve said, will be key for him. Even 2 years ago when he did have a really big year and wasn't far off from Marvin's stats, he was still banged up. But if he can stay healthy, I think he could put up some huge numbers. And, you know, despite the hype of some of the other receivers, as Steve pointed out, he reminded everybody in the spring game that he is still the Buckeyes wide receiver one.
That run of wide receivers end.
Yeah. No reason. He's too good.
I don't know if he'll be the first Buckeye off the board, but he'll be a first-round pick, in my opinion. I'll be shocked if he's not. I won't be shocked if he's the first Buckeye off the board. That's going to be a lot of fun. All right. And that's the thing. I love that only four were drafted this year because all that means is tons of guys came back that I thought would leave. So can't wait for this season and then next year's draft. But let's talk about the portal closing tomorrow, after tomorrow, really. And so far, the Buckeyes have only lost three players total. Dallin Hayden, they lost Cedric Hawkins, and then yesterday they lost Jahad Carter. Jahad Carter is one that I thought they would lose. I mean, this guy was a good player coming here from Syracuse, is buried on the depth chart because they're just stacked at safety with Lathan coming back, Caleb Downs transferring in, and some of these young guys stepping up. Like they like Malik Hartford, they like Jaden Bonsu, they like McClain. They got a lot of guys at safety, so I wish Jahad well. Patrick, I'm surprised pleasantly, they've only lost three guys. I didn't think that they would lose anybody that we were going to be sitting here saying, oh, crap, we're really going to miss him. But I thought it'd be a higher number than three. It still might be. Some people were predicting they might lose like 10 guys to the portal. Are you surprised it's only three? And just your thoughts overall on the portal. Might they lose another guy? Just your thoughts on the portal so far.
I am not surprised that it has been a smaller number than people expected. I think that, and I have a story that I'll publish today that I was slowly working on throughout the weekend, kind of my thoughts on why this has been slower than some thought. And look, this is a team that can win a national championship. We've said it a lot. The players have talked natty or bust. So if you're a guy who maybe you're probably going to be second on the depth chart, but you've got a chance to be on a national championship team. And we've heard Ryan Day and a number of others talk about the depth that they're going to need. I wrote a story last week about kind of how they could finally actually start using the depth instead of just talking about it. I think there's an opportunity, and these players see the opportunity to A, get on the field, even if you don't think you're going to be a starter, and B, win a national title. I mean, you think of guys in the past that have been on national championship teams that maybe don't emerge till afterwards. They still get a ring. You still have that ring the rest of your life. So, you know, could you transfer and go play somewhere else? Yes. But is that place going to maybe get you a national championship? Not as likely as if you're here. So I think that's a part of it. I think guys realize there's might be an opportunity, even if it doesn't look as clear right now, and you could have a national championship at the end. So maybe worth sticking around.
Yeah. Steve, are you surprised they've only lost three guys to the portal, and do you expect they're going to lose any more when it closes by tomorrow?
Yeah, that's crazy that it's only been that many. Does the football portal close tomorrow? I think the basketball portal closes on May 1st. I'm portal confused because some schools just had their spring game here on Saturday. You would think they would have a little more time.
After Tuesday. I read April 30th was the last day that you could. So that's until like 5 o'clock tomorrow, I think is how it works.
To enter the portal. Yeah. So it's interesting. I would have thought there'd been a couple more linemen who are never going to play at Ohio State. I hate naming names, but they had a guy that played in the bowl game who distinguished himself to such a point that if they ever put him back in another live game that's not already decided, then that's probably going to be malpractice by the coaches. But a sixth, eighth year senior, something like that. Basketball's got Kalen Etzler, who has stuck around in his two seasons. He redshirted a year in his two seasons. He has never played in a game that was decided by single digits, either a win or a loss. I don't believe he's ever played a minute in a game decided when it was under a 10-point spread either way. And he's coming back, it seems, or he hasn't entered the portal yet. And you just kind of like, you just scratch your head. And then, three or four of these guys on my list for Ohio State football, I can't see any path to them ever playing a meaningful snap at Ohio State, but they're still there because you get three solid meals a day. You get a warm, you get a cot, you get, all this NIL money. It's, as I keep saying, it's like the scene from Major League way back in the 80s. The female owner says, who's trying to tank the season, for whatever reason, she says, I think we're coddling these guys a bit too much. So, because they're winning. So, I think the same thing applies here. They're coddling some of these guys too much and they don't want to leave. So, is what it is.
Yeah, I'm surprised maybe, one of the wide receivers that are buried didn't and they still could. They still could. But I'm glad. I mean, depth is important. You just never know. Especially in football, you never know where you're going to be depleted. You can think to use a different sport. Look at the Reds coming into the year. Everybody's like, "How they got too many infielders? Why are they signing Candelaria?" All of a sudden, they have no infielders. it's like guys were dropping like flies in spring training. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but in football, that can happen easy. It was just a couple years ago they were so depleted at running back. They had Chip Trainum, who was a linebacker earlier that year, started the Michigan game. They're down to like Xavier Johnson in the Peach Bowl at running back. It was crazy. All right. Patrick, they're just doing a great – I think NIL – Steve hit on it. I think NIL is a big reason some of these kids are sticking around that we thought, okay, he's never going to play. He'll enter the portal. It's like, well, I'm happy at Ohio State. I'm going to get my degree. Maybe some of these guys already have their degree that have been there for 5-6 years and they're getting their master's. They're getting taken care of in NIL. I don't need to go somewhere at some lesser school and play. I'm very happy here. Maybe it's as simple as that.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And we've talked about this before, probably at this time last year. Look, you have to remember, as much as football is a big part of these kids' lives, like they do have lives outside of football, right? And you mentioned they're working towards degrees. Well, if you transfer, not all your credits transfer. So if you're thinking, okay, maybe the NFL is not where I'm going to end up, or you don't see it being a long-term thing, if guys are looking at some things realistically, it's like, well, finish my degree here instead of going somewhere else where maybe I'll have to do more classwork to get to that degree. These guys have friends outside of football, girlfriends. Transferring is not as simple as you're just at one place and then you're at another, right? You're packing up your whole life and moving. I remember talking to some parents of players who have transferred who just didn't even think about the fact that, you're essentially starting a college situation all over again. And, I did it once in college. It was fine, but it's hectic. And I think people sometimes forget that there is, you're not just going from one team to another. It's picking up everything you've got and moving it to a new city, starting over with a new facility, you know, learning where things are, stuff like that. I listened to a podcast that Kyle McCord was on, just kind of interesting hearing what he said about his transferring to Syracuse and trying to learn where, you know, the classes are and things, because it's a whole new place for him. And Ohio State, he was here 3 years, knew the campus and all that. And now he's trying to relearn all that while also picking up a playbook and trying to be the starting quarterback. So there's a lot that goes into it that we don't always talk about.
Yeah, I remember when Caleb Downs, when it hit our first time interviewing him, he was talking about, you know, back in January, he was like trying to find out, you know, where the, you know, locker rooms and stuff were and all the different bathrooms and stuff and where they eat. So, yeah, it's a lot goes into it. That you're right, that we don't – we just look at it from that football perspective. And the fact that it's called the portal, it makes it seem like you're just going to teleport somewhere and you're going to be there. Everything's going to be fine, right? It's like, no, it's not that simple. All right, we'll let you guys know about our other sponsor on today's show, Nuts.com. Perfect, right? Buck Nuts. Nuts.com, match made in heaven. This company is fantastic, and they've got Nuts.com. Of course, they've got tons of different nuts. They've also got all kinds of different snacks, sweets, a little bit of everything. If you're a snacker and you haven't heard of Nuts.com, listen up. Like I said, of course, they have an amazing variety of nuts, but that's not all. They offer over 50 varieties of trail mix. They have this trail mix that's my favorite trail mix of all time. It's like this chocolate and peanut butter mix. It's just fantastic. Over 50 varieties of trail mix at nuts.com, tons of flavored popcorn choices, energy squares, fruit leather, and so much more. You got to get on their website and check it out. And thanks to the Bucknuts Morning Five, you guys can get a good deal here. Right now, nuts.com is offering new customers a free gift with purchase and free shipping on orders of $29 or more at nuts.com/bucknuts. So go check out all the delicious options at nuts.com/bucknuts. You'll receive a free gift and free shipping when you spend $29 or more. That's nuts.com/bucknuts. I'm going to need some more roasted almonds. About out of these, I've been eating a lot of the roasted almonds. They're fantastic. So nuts.com, check it out. Get yourself free shipping and a free gift. Great company. All right, basketball. If you guys don't like Ohio State basketball, thank you for watching the show. We appreciate listening. We're going to finish the show talking some basketball. Got my basketball beat writers here. All right, Steve, we'll start with you. The offseason for Jake Diebler so far, it's not over. We don't know yet. We don't know. So far, I'm a little disappointed. I'm not jumping off the Lane Avenue Bridge or anything yet, but I'm disappointed. Should I not be disappointed? Where are you at so far? Again, the dust has not settled yet, but where are you at with the offseason so far with Jake Diebler?
Well, they lost five guys in the portal. They've picked up three guys so far, plus a commitment. I want to tell you, this past weekend was the first weekend of the Nike EYBL down in Memphis. And Marcus Johnson, the 2026 commitment from Garfield Heights, was nothing short of spectacular. Five games, 24.5 points per game average against the best competition in his age group in the Nike circuit. And, you know, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's playing big right now. And I know it's going to be a couple years till he'll be in the Scarlet Gray because he's only going in his junior year at Garfield Heights. But that is some excitement for the future for Jake Diebler. A certified five-star, I think, is what he's going to be. If he can play it close to that level, the rest of the EYBL, they go on to the next leg this week. I'm not sure. In a few weeks, they'll be in Indianapolis, and I'll be out there to see it all in person. But start there. That was great that they got him committed, though you don't get any kind of benefit from that for two full seasons yet. The portal acquisitions, I would give him a B. So far, certainly Michi Johnson, I think in some regards is an upgrade over Roddy Gale, perhaps offensively. Defensively, maybe not as big of an upgrade for them, but he definitely will space defenses a little bit more with his ability to shoot threes. He's about a 31, 32, 33% shooter. Roddy was under 30, so you didn't even have to push out on him. So that was good, I thought. Micah Parrish is a guy from San Diego State whose numbers don't look good, but he was also banged up this past year. And here's the intangible that people don't talk about. He is regarded as a, quote, dog. So that means he's going to defend, rebound, make life very difficult for the opponent. Fifth-year guy, played in a Final Four, played in another Sweet 16, and I think he's a guy that has got some – going to have a potentially a good year as a senior coming up. And then Aaron Bradshaw, in some regards, again, a trade-off. Felix Akpara, we know he could block shots, but you put the ball to him down on the low post, a lot of times it's the same as throwing it into the third row. I think that Aaron Bradshaw may be a little bit more polished offensively, but probably not as good defensively as Felix Akpara. And maybe, you know, certainly after only playing 12 minutes a game or 13 minutes a game at Kentucky, he's not ready to play 30 minutes a game at Ohio State as a sophomore. So still have a couple needs out there. Need a power forward, need a perhaps a backup post player or the best player available, a three-point shooter, whatever they can get. They've had a slew of guys visit. They missed on Trey Townsend. That's the big one from Oakland. I think he's a guy that would have put him over the top and put him in the top four in the Big Ten had he decided to come to Ohio State. Instead, he's going to go, I think it's Alabama for him. Yeah, so
Arizona.
I'm sorry. Yes, Arizona. My brain is just on the fritz right now. But at any rate, you get the idea that there have been some hits, been some misses. It's still incomplete. They need to add one or two more pieces and not just warm bodies. They need guys who can play.
Pat, same thing, man. I mean, I'm disappointed, again, with the caveat. I know the dust has not settled yet. I'm not giving him the final grade yet, but he's not grading well at the midterms. I'll put that. I'm disappointed so far, and I backed the hiring of Jake Diehl. I'm usually not a promote from within guy, especially when he was the top assistant of Holtman, who was a disaster, but I digress. Where are you at? Should I be disappointed? Should I be encouraged? Talk to me, Patrick.
I think things were moving in a positive direction, and then Felix Akpara entered the transfer portal. And for me, that was the loss that you, other than Bruce Thornton, like that was the guy you wanted to keep. I thought it was strange that they went out and got a guy like Aaron Bradshaw. I'm not sure if that is the entire reason Felix made a U-turn, though I definitely think it's part of it. But if you had both of those guys, as Steve mentioned, Bradshaw didn't play a ton last year at Kentucky. Both of those guys, I think you're feeling okay about things. Now you're down to one center that they'll probably trust. I don't think Austin Parks is ready to be a significant contributor from my understanding at this point. So, you know, do they need to go find another center who has some experience? I agree with a lot of what Steve said that about some of the other guys. But for me, that's where it was like, ooh, you convinced Felix to stay. Then you brought in another guy at the position. Now you've lost. So, like, you went from, okay, you're here. You bring in another guy. Okay, you're here. You're up. And then you came back down again. So, for me, adding to what Steve said, you know, losing Felix, I thought was kind of a gut punch for the Buckeyes, because I think they – all of a sudden you had two almost seven-footers on the roster, which doesn't happen very often. And, you at least in that position were set, and now you're kind of got some questions again. But, yeah, I'm waiting to see how it all plays out. You know, I know there was kind of a master plan. Not getting Townsend affected that, so they still need to kind of fill that void. But, yeah, losing Felix, I think. We'll see what Bradshaw can do in year two. Maybe a fresh start for him after it didn't go well at Kentucky, but – I think your assessment is fair, Dave. They've done some good things, but all in all, I'm not sure you're that much better than where you were at the end of the season.
Great stuff for my guys. This was fun. Steve Hellwagon, Patrick Murphy, really appreciate it, guys. Thanks to all of the viewers and listeners. Appreciate you guys very much. Hope everybody has a great rest of your day.
Sunday after the Equalizer.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
It's the season finale.
Everyone's looking for something.
Of Tracker.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions, and you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker, CBS season finale Sunday after the Equalizer on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.